Okay, I think we can go ahead and get started, and anybody else that pops on can just catch up. We'll go ahead and call to order the second quarter State Records Committee meeting for 2020. My name is Ray Dagnall. I'm chair of the committee from the Secretary of State's office. I'm going to conduct a quick roll call, and then we'll jump into some of the agenda topics. Okay, sorry about the delay there. Just getting all my screens in order. All right, so we'll start with roll call. We'll start with the disposition subcommittee. I got Pete Wiseman.
Present.
And Deb Butler. We've got Deb Butler not present. Don Anderson.
Here.
And Jody Foley.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go into the someone from the governor's office or Ralph Graybill. No one from the governor's office. All right, Audrey Hinman.
Here.
And let's see. Anyone from the clerk of the Supreme Court or Bowen Greenwood? No representation there. Rotational members, we've got Karen D. Herman.
Here.
Let's see, we got Sunday West.
Here.
Daniil Vincent. Daniil Vincent not present. And Evan Waters. No Evan Waters. All right, that covers the committee. Let's see. I see we have April Sparks from the Historical Society.
I'm here.
Yep. Jim Kamer, State Law Library.
I'm here. Yep. State Library.
Just State Library. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And we got. Like Joyce Wittenberg, Department of Environmental Quality.
Yep.
All right. Anybody I didn't call off there that would be like to add it to the minutes?
Rebecca Cooper's present for FWP.
Okay. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning or afternoon, I guess. It's Daniil Vincent with PPHHS.
Oh, sorry, Daniil. Oh yeah, I called you. Okay, yep, got you as present now. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, with that, we'll just go ahead and jump into our agenda items for today. Wanted to start the agenda items with Iron Mountain updates and discussions. I really don't have a lot to update. I know that Joyce from Department of Environmental Quality would like to, yeah. Maybe like have a discussion about Iron Mountain. From my standpoint, things are going increasingly better with Iron Mountain in terms of getting everybody kind of in place, set up with the roles they need and familiar with their online portal. And I do know that Iron Mountain through this COVID-19 thing did experience some furloughing, some people got let go. And so there was a couple folks in terms of our communication liaisons that were made unavailable during that stretch of time. And so I know that was something that I experienced. And I just wanted to open it up to the floor about anybody that wants to bring up any discussion items concerning Iron Mountain, any concerns about Iron Mountain. And we just try to address them on a one-on-one basis.
Ray, this is Rebecca Cooper. I would concur that things have gotten better over the months, especially with Maureen being a designated contact. She's been instrumental in sorting out billing issues or fielding some odd questions here and there. So I think that was a very good step in the right direction.
Thank you for that feedback. That's encouraging to hear. And yes, Maureen is, well, anything is better than just calling the customer service line sometimes. And so I that was definitely one of our asks and something that we identified as something that we would want from them. And that's that dedicated communication line to somebody that's aware of the specifics of the state of Montana's contract with Iron Mountain. So, I know Joyce has experienced, because due to the speed of the migration and how quickly we tried to get things moved over, we didn't have DEQ set up in the ideal way. And so I know that Joyce has been working with Iron Mountain, and I would say that the organizing of all these things has kind of been drawn out, and I know that she may not have as favorable as impression of Iron Mountain as some of the other folks, and then I think a lot of that has to do with immediately trying to reorganize everything in terms of roles and responsibilities in Iron Mountain Connect, and just Iron Mountain's ability to keep up with us on that. And so it's encouraging to hear some good things, and feel free to weigh in on some negative aspects of Iron Mountain as well, if you'd like.
I can weigh in on the negative.
Sure.
It has been hell for me, and for our staff trying to get our records, and even so, the whole big spreadsheet, we had to send them from the beginning. We'd send it and they'd come back with, hey, could you give us this? And it's on the spreadsheet. It's like, here you go. Okay, now can you give us this? Okay, now can you give us this? And it was a back and forth constant. Like each time they would tell me, just give me this and we'll be able to get it done. And then there was something else. So that kept up. And now we're still not in there. And some of the response that you get from them, and even Maureen on one of those calls that Ray, that you and I had with them, she was kind of a little terse with me on the phone. I was a little bit upset about that because it wasn't our mess. We didn't do it. Anyways, we're still struggling. I still have two accounts that are MIA, but they have boxes for those accounts, but we can't access them.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just very frustrating.
Yeah.
And I know I've gotten a little bit, I try to control myself and my emails back to them, but I know I've gotten a little bit terse with them because it gets old after a while.
Yeah.
So,
and I understand your frustration and I've been looped in on all the emails, and thank you for that. And behind the scenes, I try to put a little pressure on them, and maybe some of the reason they're terse with you is because I lean on them pretty heavily to make sure that I know that you actually experienced them in part of their furlough incident where Maureen wasn't able to be gotten a hold of, and I know your case has been kind of handed off to multiple different people, and I didn't like the idea of that because just as soon as you started making progress, you like you said, you had to fill everybody back in on what you're trying to do. And so just know that although that's frustrating and we're going to try to fix it, that at the ground level with the folks that don't have those accesses and those roles, still know that there's the local avenue in working with me and then the local guy, and we'll always get the records out of that storage and to the people that need them.
The Marines email was telling us not to do that anymore.
And I understand that that's not their, that's definitely not their SOP. It's not the way they want to be doing things, but if push comes to shove, ultimately that's just really a big no-no on their part is not having the access that we need to the records. And then there's actually contract language that, it can be referred back to when it comes to things like access and then, with our ability to get a hold of these records. So yes, they don't want that done that way, but when push comes to shove, we'll all feel free to loop me in if you're not getting the access that you need, because that's something that's can't be controlled. So.
And then were you aware that they were using a third-party vendor to transport our records?
Right, and they have the ability to do that at a small scale, like the UPS, or are they using UPS, or they're using, a mail carrier?
They haven't responded to my email, and it's been weeks. I asked who they were using.
I'm not sure. Locally, they still do have a team that is doing deliveries. They have reduced their delivery time to once a week, a Thursday, and so that's also know that that's not something that is finite with our contract either. You know, if you need to get something to your office on a Tuesday or Wednesday, we can work with them locally. But yeah, that email is saying that they can't, if you look on Iron Mountain Connect and the emails they've sent saying that they are using a third party vendor to transport, that hasn't been happening to my knowledge in our market here in Helena, or Missoula for what I'm aware of. And if that's not the case, somebody feel free to fill me in. But I do know they have the local team there in place, and they are doing deliveries locally, especially to state agencies.
Okay.
All right. So we've got some good, we've got some bad. I understand that, I don't want to, I'm dismissive of the issues you're having, Joyce, but your situation is unique in that we have tried to, basically dash apart what they had in terms of Iron Mountain Connect roles, responsibilities, and implement kind of a more a broad spectrum with a lot more detail in it. And I was warned at the beginning that is going to be a kind of a drawn out process. So again, my ultimate aim though is to make sure that there's no disruption in access to records. So. If that becomes an issue, that's where I step in. Anyone else have any, good, bad, any kind of feedback with Iron Mountain that they'd like to share? Otherwise, we move on to the next agenda item. Great. Well, it's the next agenda item is. Which do I have here? It's like the Department of Administration's mom policy concerning social media and its retention. One of our committee members brought it to my attention that the Department of Administration issued a mom policy concerning social media. And I'll share it with you here. I'm gonna share the screen. Throughout, it looks pretty good until we get to the very end of the policy itself, and you find, bear with me, you find that they make the statement that social media is not a public record or a record, and therefore requires no retention. And so I just wanted to kind of have a discussion around that, because that kind of language doesn't sit well with me, but I also see their point of view from it as well. So bear with me here. I'm trying to get the screen up. So can everybody see the mom policy, social media policy on their screen? Did they successfully do that?
I see it.
Great. So the mom policy covers social media, purpose, scope. It's got everything in terms of guidelines, use, content, code of ethics stuff, everything I really agree with pretty well until we get down to here to this social media records retention, and then you get their statement here. The social media communications are not subject to record retention, therefore backup or archive solution is not required. I just wanted to open it up to the floor, discussion-wise, how everybody interprets that, feels about that. I looked around and tried to find, social media, an MCA, administrative rule, the very definition of public record in MCA does say communication in any medium, so that opens it up to social media being a medium. Is anybody first, I guess, familiar with any kind of law rule where this statement is kind of in contrary to?
This is Jody. I think if you look at the definition of record, you know, writ large, I think it is something that needs to be defined specifically. And we can certainly look at other states and how they've handled that in terms of language. There's lots of really great language out there. That part of the problem, I think, is that that's such a big umbrella that you almost have to parse it out by the type of communication, because a record is based on content, not media or format.
Exactly. And, you know, I get the idea that the majority of communications being used by in social media, typically, you know, transitory short-term correspondence, stuff that's 30 days, 1 year, retention. But yeah, you're right. It's a matter of, I guess, understanding whether or not, be worth exploring the idea of maybe creating a retention schedule for social media. But then again, that goes against the kind of concept of the type of record and not the medium itself. So I kind of find myself at loss with this. And I just wanted to run it by the committee, see what everybody thought.
This is Rebecca Cooper. I just wanted to chime in. You know, if you're going to go down the road of social media, you might open a Pandora's box, because then you might be obligated to look at how websites, records on the websites are maintained, which would be an extensive conversation.
That's a good point.
Audrey, isn't there a backup? Our website, isn't that already backed up by SITSD?
It's not by ITSD, actually. It's by the state library. They have what's called the Wayback Machine, where they take snaps of state websites. But I don't believe they do anything with social media sites.
This is Jody. Part of the challenge is, you know, once you set retention for these, it's the preservation side of things. And it does get very complicated. You know, let's say if you're on a website and people are given the opportunity to comment, there's some tools that will only allow the capture of your comments and not the comments of the people that precipitated it. So it really, I don't think it's a simple fix. I think there does need to be a policy, you know, maybe looking at the idea of similar to what we need to do and what we did in the past, but needs to be updated with email.
The two could definitely be combined, email and social media, really a lot of the same issues, same medium there. So the notes I kind of jotted down about this agenda item were A, is the rule or the policy itself, and I'm not sure if this is just a statewide policy, if this just applies to department administration. But my first concern is that the language of the policy contrary to any state law or administrative rule. And then once we've established whether or not that's the case, and I was not able to turn up anything other than just the definition of public record. But once we've established that, then we can start kind of getting what the prevailing consensus is for the, you know, creating some sort of retention schedule surrounding social media and email.
So So I'm the one who initially brought this to raise attention. I was going through general policies and came across this on the MOM, and my interpretation of it is that they're saying that it is, the issuing authority is the director's office, which would mean that it would be just a Department of Administration policy, but by publishing it in the MOM, they're putting it out there for all of the state agencies to adopt. And for everything that I've learned about records management, social media is a record. I mean, they're saying themselves that they describe it as, its content is created through an mt.gov account to promote or represent an agency. How is that anything other than communication that would fall under the category of public information? So the thing that really got me to really kind of prick up my ears about this was because Joyce and I worked for the Joint Information Center for COVID. Joyce is still there, and you can talk a little bit more about it if you want to. But while a lot of social media is just very much short-term, kind of transitory, sometimes you end up with social media that I think should really be part of the historic record. I mean, the social media effort of the Joint Information Center, the Department of Military Affairs, that is really important, I would say, for historians understanding the communications with the public as far as this whole COVID pandemic. And so if we're saying that this is explicitly saying it's not subject to records retention, and if they're only doing it because they don't want to buy Archive Social or some other subscription program that will preserve it, it doesn't apply with me. So that's why I wanted to bring it up to the whole committee. I agree that I think there needs to be some sort of written retention policy for it, maybe put into the general retention record schedules, I would say. But that's my opinion on it.
Well, and I think that's in very much in keeping with best practices for records management when it comes to social media. So there's certainly a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of documents that we can use to back up and support any kind of guidance that we can provide.
So I guess, what does that look like? How do we go about, moving forward with this? Is it, the State Records Committee has the ability to create administrative rule through 2-6, 1101H, and so it could be something that could be included in administrative rule if somebody was wanting to go forward with this. Would it be a matter of just having the Department of Administration consider changing the language in their MOM policy? Or would it be something just as simple as just kind of a general retention schedule ad or something along those lines? Any ideas?
This is Danielle. I have a question. So are we saying anything put out on social media, or are there certain parameters of types of information? Because I'm just struggling a little bit with, I can kind of see where they came with that initially, but I also see all of your points completely. I just feel like there's, in my brain, the bulk of what's put out in social media is kind of that immediate blurb, almost repeat of stuff that is somewhere else that probably or may be retained, and I may be thinking of it way too narrowly. But then there's also like a whole bunch of stuff that if we were to say, you know, everything social media should be backed up, should be saved, should be retained, I just feel like there'd be a mass amount of junk that would have no value. But again, I may be thinking of it way too narrowly.
No, I definitely, I can see your point of view on that. And And I agree with what you're saying. And I guess what strikes me about this is just, you know, the how is a lot, not so much in question as just the basically the deeming of social media is not requiring a retention. And that's, I think, where a good place to start. The application in terms of putting it into action are a whole different deal. And you're right, the majority of the communications may not be worthy of saving. And so that's where you got to, I guess, determine, you know, how and what gets plucked out and basically processes that surround that.
Ray, this is Jim Cameron. I put in the chat a link to a document I found in our collection of state agency websites, and it's from ITSD. It's about social media and records. If you open the document, section 7 talks about public records, and it says social media is likely presumed to be a public record.
Okay, you'll see that does a check mark on my first bullet, and you know, is the language contrary to anything that already exists out there. So thanks for that link, James.
Yep.
Well, I think a lot of this is going to come down to getting clear definitions, you know, just like you do with any record or any information, I should say, that there are things that you look for that helps you to deem whether or not it's a record. And we just have to, as a committee, determine how to document that, and then how to train through whether it's documents that we send out or there's actual training that we decide we want to do. It's a big bucket, we'll just say that. But I think there's a lot of guidance, again, out there that we can draw on. So maybe part of the issue is pulling in, or the approaches, I should say, is pulling in all of the resources that we do find, see where they are conflicting with each other, contact D of A once we have that kind of brought together and say, okay, these documents say that social media is in fact a record, so you probably need to look at this language here because it is contradictory. But then look at maybe a subcommittee that is tasked with doing the research and coming together with a draft of guidance, and then bring that to the full committee, and then work towards getting that passed as something that's linked, for instance, into ARM or something like that. That would be kind of very, very broad strokes, but that seems to me like the best way to do it, because you're looking at what best practices are, you're looking at the resources that we currently have, and then you're creating better resources.
Yeah, I think that's a great roadmap. Thanks, Jody. Yeah, you know, the author of the policy is written right there on it. So I can on the behalf of the committee reach out to the author of the policy and maybe have a conversation. And we'll.
Hey Ray, do we not have a person from D of A on the Records Management Committee?
Yeah, Pete Wiseman and I believe Audrey Hinman are both from Department of Administration.
Oh, okay. And Audrey's on, I think. It just seems odd to me that, you know, that got put in there without, I guess, consultation with their records person and who would think to talk to the group, I guess.
Yeah, so this is Audrey. I'm not familiar with that particular policy. I think maybe it came out of our director's office. The one thing I was going to double check, and I will take as a takeaway from it, is we just moved to ServiceNow as the tool to hold all of our policies. And if it is in MOM, and it should not be, if it is just a department policy, it maybe was published to the wrong area. So I was just going to check on that. If it is a MOM, it is an enterprise-wide policy. I am not familiar with it, but I will double check and make sure it's in the right location.
Sure, yeah, and that's, I appreciate that, Audrey, thanks.
Sure, I don't know, Pete, if you know anything about it.
No, I'm unfamiliar with that policy as well.
And I believe it was just issued in June, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen D. So it would have been just kind of in this transition period that we've all been going through with COVID and all that. So I'd understand why steps weren't taken. So that's
And the June timeframe is about the same time we converted from our old policy management tool to the new one, ServiceNow. So Audrey could be correct and there could be a mix up.
Yeah, well, we'll just we'll nail that down. And Audrey, if you don't mind communicating with me and what you find on that, or Audrey and Pete, and
sure.
In the meantime, I'll also reach out to the author and maybe just start up a conversation and kind of get an idea where they're coming from on that, and to see if it's actually something that's out there too as well. So,
sure, absolutely.
Any more discussion about this policy, or any more thoughts? I think we've kind of got a roadmap kind of built out here, thanks to Jody, just to kind of begin with just having a conversation with the author of the policy itself, and just verifying its validity, and then and from there we could create a subcommittee and start having them do the research on how our committee as a whole could present some kind of alternative.
One thing that I would mention too is that if and when we do get to the point of putting together a rule or a retention schedule or whatever it might happen to be, I think we need to make sure that we're communicating this to the public information officers as well as people who are identified as records managers. I know speaking to our public information officer that he has had conversations with other PIOs who have indicated that they're not in any way managing or trying to archive their social media. So I think that particular duty happens to fall a lot on public information officers. So I think that's a group we need to be reaching out to as well.
Yeah, and I have an email group that I used pretty extensively, and I tried to keep it up to date, and it's basically records managers, stakeholders and managers. And so we try to get those PIO folks on that email group, so when I make fairly large communications of that nature, they're included on them. So might be a good time for me to address that email group and then maybe update the information on that and make sure we've got everybody that needs to be on it. That could be an action item I take out of this meeting, and just make sure that stakeholders email group is up to date to include all PIOs.
Yeah, so this is Audrey. So I just am looking at that now, and it was authored by our PIO, by the Department of Administration PIO. And so I do believe that is probably in the wrong place, and it should be just in Department of Administration policies and not in MOM. So Ray, when you reach out to her, maybe ask her that question, and she needs to reclassify it and move it out of MOM probably.
Great, okay. That's I'll add that. Thank you, Audrey.
Sure.
All right, any more discussion concerning the MOM policy, Department of Administration? All right, well, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is Microsoft Teams. We were all aware that we've moved away from using Skype as an instant messaging platform and relying more on Microsoft Teams, Office 365. And I guess what I wanted to start off with in this agenda item is, I know there's a lot of folks that don't feel like they have a lot of information about Teams, myself included. And I was going to present to Audrey maybe you'd be willing to have, is it Ben that is kind of the Office 365 guru?
Yeah, Ben Howard, correct.
Yeah, maybe have some sort of presentation put together for everybody on the records committee. In the meantime, I could offer up committee members and interested parties to provide me with specific questions they have concerning Microsoft Teams and its record management components. But basically, this agenda item was born out of just this upcoming usage, primarily, and just in how it differs from Skype, and especially when it comes to record management.
Sure, I'd be glad to give him a heads up. I know Ben would be happy to do a presentation for the committee.
That'd be great. And like I said, in the meantime, all members, maybe reach out to me via my email with just kind of questions and concerns that you have. I know there are some concerns. I have some of my own, concerning the retention and just how this switch from this instant messaging platform is going to affect the records management portion of things. And if you want to provide me specific questions that you'd like to have answered, maybe I could provide that to Ben and he could have a really specific presentation to provide us by the third quarter state records committee meeting. Does anybody have any just discussions initially about this change and concerns they want to bring to light now? Just to have a conversation about it.
So Audrey, I don't know if you know the answer to this, Audrey, but I'm wondering, does SITSC have any intention of allowing records managers to have any back-end access? I know that there are some fairly robust records management tools within Microsoft 365, both at the e-discovery level and the records manager level, but to my knowledge, nobody has been given access to any of that, so that even, for example, if we need to put a legal hold on something, we don't have the ability to do that. Do you know if there's been any discussion about maybe giving a few people some access there?
Karen, I'm not sure. That's a great question for Ben. I mean, we do have legal hold. Agencies, we do put the legal hold on based on a request by any agency. As far as getting access, that is a great question for Ben. I'm sorry. It's just not my bureau's area, and I don't know anything about that. I do know, Teams keeps the chats where Skype didn't. And I do know they've set up a archive after a year on those chats, only on the chat function, not on the team channel function. So yeah, I think it's a great thing for Ben to come and talk to the committee about, to get insight. And I'll give him a heads up, Ray, that you'll contact him just so he knows it's coming, and get those questions to him. And I mean, he's great at providing information and doing that kind of thing. So I know he'd be glad to talk to the committee.
Great, thanks, Audrey. And that's, I have to admit that I don't know a great deal about it either. I know that downloading content from Teams is difficult, and so they kind of set like a retention almost just for Teams. And again, you get into that whole conversation about whether the record is being judged, is retention being judged by its content, or is whether it's being judged by the platform it's being delivered in. And so I don't have a whole lot of concerns, being is that Teams being an instant messaging platform is typically going to be your really short-term transitory correspondence. We'd really like to understand ways that I know that you can easily pluck attachments and stuff from Teams, but we'd like to know more about how you can pluck, relevant information from the chats. And just have that discussion with Ben.
This is Jody. There's also considerations of, let's see, it's a very robust tool. So I think there's going to be different levels of use across agencies. And that can be part of some guidance that we can give, is if it's really just this sort of instant messaging kind of thing, then that's one level. But if they're using it almost as a their major information management tool, there's going to be a lot more potential records within it. So, you know, that could be part of the conversation, is looking at retention at the different levels of use and how it's functioning within an individual agency.
Yeah, I don't foresee it ever taking on kind of the size of, you know, replacing an email, but it has that potential. And I know that that's some of the studies done out there and have kind of focused in on its ability to replace email. And if that, you know, that's something that is going to be ongoing, it'd be nice to be in front of it in terms of having some sort of policy and guideline for everybody. All right, any other discussion concerning this switch from Skype to Microsoft Teams? I've got, for action items, I'm going to wait for any feedback from the members of this committee and anybody that you want to disseminate this information to get to me some kind of specifics that you would like to know more about Teams and its records management component and functions and abilities and the plans that the Department of Administration has going forward. Once I've received those, I will reach out to Ben and provide him with those specific questions and ask him to come and present at the third, if not fourth, quarter State Records Committee meeting. All right. Well, so for the last agenda item, before we get out of here, we've got James Kamara from the State Library, and he's put together a presentation. His office is making an offer that is just terrific in my eyes, and I'll let him go ahead and go forward with this because he's got everything all set to go. I think I've got screens all shared, James. So whenever you are ready, go ahead and take it away.
Okay. Thanks, Ray. Yeah, indeed. I do hope it is an irresistible offer. And so here we go. What I need to give kind of an introduction, first of all, of what I do at the State Library. I manage two collections, and if you can see on, can you see the homepage of the State Library right now?
Yes.
Okay, good. The radio button checked there with the blue is mt.gov connect. And if you click on that, it'll show you the two collections that I manage. And the first one is, I'd like to refer to as our collection of state agency websites. And the Internet Archive, it's a digital library based in California. It's nonprofit. And some of you might be familiar already with the Wayback Machine. And the Wayback Machine provides access to 468 billion web pages. And the State Library has a very narrow slice of that collection. And so what we're doing is at regular intervals, we're taking snapshots or capturing your state agency website and making it part of this Internet Archive collection. This is our search interface for mt.gov connect. Just to very briefly show you, and again, this is perhaps familiar to several of you out there already, but just on the state homepage of mt.gov connect, you can see the dates of capture beginning in 1996, all the way up to the present year and month for when we have archived the state homepage. And it's the one place that I know of where you can actually go back and see what the web was like back then. Going back to 1996, this was the original homepage, as far as I know. And so you can see kind of the development, the progress of the web here in our state. And so each of your agencies, we're also collecting the same content. And if you were to type in your agency URL right there and click Take Me Back, you get a page similar to this with the dates of capture. And why are we doing this? Because we're responsible for working with you, state agencies, to provide permanent public access to state government information that's intended for public distribution. And nowadays, you're posting all your information, most of your information that's intended for public distribution on your website. So this website goes back to 1996. And the other collection that I manage is also with the Internet Archive. And it is part of their digitized book collection. And you'll see right here where the cursor is, there's 27 million books. Well, here at the State Library in the state of Montana, we've digitized over 27,000 state publications from your agencies. And they're all pre-1996, most of them, the majority are pre-1996. And just very briefly, want to give you some introduction to some of you about this collection here. Again, partnering with the Internet Archive. And you can see the dates go back, you know, starting with 2020, extend back to 1864. And so these are the years of publications that we have. And then on the column to the right is the number of publications associated with those years. In 1864, we have 6 publications. Over here in 1920, we have 12 publications. And all kinds of topics, subjects. Loading. Everything from land use to water quality to agriculture to the Montana Arts Council, logging, the state prison. Very, very broad subject list. And here you can see the list of state agencies and divisions and bureaus that have submitted their publications to us. The names are all in lowercase because of formatting with this particular system. And beside the bureau or agency or division, you can see the number of publications that we have. And this list, that's page 1. It goes up to, page, 39. Anyway, pretty extensive. So far, those 27,000 publications amount to a little over 2 million pages that we've digitized with the Internet Archive. Just to give you a little bit of idea what it looks like once a publication is here digitized. This is something from DNRC. It's a publication from, I believe, the 1970s. It's called Warm Places. Just open it up. And let's go to page 1, cover. So this is kind of the flip book view. If you just click on the pages turn, you can enlarge the text and font, of course. There's down here in the lower right, you see the headphones there. If you wanted to listen to some of the text, you could. And also, it's full text searchable. You can search inside this document for a person, a particular word. If I type in the word solar energy, these little blue pins will begin to descend to where the words phrase solar energy appears. If you hover over the pin, you can see the context. You click on the pin, takes you right to the page where solar energy appears. So it's pretty powerful. Another thing about this collection, it's all indexed by Google. And that's the way people search these days for everything, including your publications, your information. I forgot one more thing about this. With this particular publication, and it's true of every publication that has been digitized, every publication we create about 16 to 23 different files. They're GIF files, PDF, text files, XML files, MARC files. And these are meaningful, useful to developers, to perhaps yourselves wanting to use them in different ways. And so my offer to you today is I am asking you to look in your attic of your agency, the basement of your agency, the closets, look underneath your desk for any pre-1996 print publications which are not already a part of this online collection. And at no cost to your agency, the State Library would like to work with you and digitize those publications. And we have interagency loan agreement that spells out all the details and requirements and what you can expect of us and what you can expect to receive in return. And so it's a pretty formal document, but we want you to be comfortable and confident that you know ahead of time what you're getting into. And so this loan agreement, it assures that the documents you loan to us, it's a temporary loan, and you'll get them back from us in the same condition that you sent them to us. And just recently we finished up a big project with FWP and Rebecca Cooper, who's online here with us, could feel free to speak up if you like. We just completed digitizing several hundred hunting regulations for game birds, for bison, for deer, elk, bear, and dating back to, I believe, at least the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's a pretty, anyway, if you have any further questions about this offer, I'd love to speak to you at another time. I'm in Outlook. This digitization would be at no cost to your agency. I can send you a copy of the agreement so you can look it over and see if you have any questions about it or if it's something that would interest you or your agencies. I think that's it. I could take a couple of brief questions if there's still time. If not, I can be reached afterwards.
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. When he says, you know, look in your attics, your basement, your storerooms, another really good place to look for some of this stuff would be in the State Record Center, boxed up on shelves and storage shelves. So something to think about. And I know just from my experiences with the old State Record Center and migrating a lot of those records that a lot of stuff inside those boxes are exactly what Mr. Kamara is speaking about right now.
And one other thing I kind of neglected to mention. So in addition to your publications being here and being publicly available, what's kind of neat is you can see right here where my cursor is hovering, you can see the number of times that it's been viewed and downloaded by people from all over the place, all over the world, actually. If you go here to the About tab, scroll down a little bit, you can see the statistics for just in the last 30 days right here. You can see the regions and the countries that have come into our collection to look at them. Virginia, California, 4,880 views. Germany, people from New York, Washington State, And it's the list is longer. It just cuts off after about 10 regions. And these statistics are available to your agency as well if you want to track them. Or if you want to track specific publications, you can do that.
That's some fascinating stuff there. Yeah, that's neat that you've got the ability to track viewership. That's great.
Yeah, and it breaks it out by people, and it also makes a distinction between people and robots that are just crawling the World Wide Web, and so you know who actually is using your pubs.
This is Jody. I would just say that, you know, as you're looking through those materials, if there are records, historic records, of course, please contact us. And Jim, if you come across, you know, in your work, minute books or things like that, that you think we might be interested, please let us know and we'll work with the agency once they have it scanned. It may be that they no longer want that minute book, but we might in a physical sense.
Absolutely. No, I'm in total agreement with you, Jody. There's a part of the agreement in this written document where we do mention and encourage agencies, if they have not already done so, to please consider passing along the publication to the Historical Society, because you folks are the experts in conservation and preservation, and we're just making a digital copy of it, but
absolutely, which is fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Ultimately, one would think that digitization of the record would lead to perhaps the disposition of the solid copy, whether it be archived or otherwise. So, yeah, it's that's kind of what I envision when I see this, and that's really encourages me. This. Does anybody else have any questions for Mr. Kmer? All right. Well, I think it's safe to say we can conclude the second quarter 2020 State Records Committee meeting. And you can anticipate an invitation to another one fairly soon. Because of COVID and whatnot, we kind of got a late start. And so we're trying to cram in a couple more meetings before the fiscal calendar year 2020 expires. And so be aware that I'll be reaching out to you. Any questions about today's meeting, feel free to email me. I will make the recorded version of this meeting available hopefully within the week on Montana Secretary of State's website. And with that, I'd like to thank all of you for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.